Upon this rock I will build my church. You Bible students and those of you that read your Bibles regularly, which we all should do, will recall that this passage came from the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew, and Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. And brothers and sisters, I'm thankful for this wonderful truth. I'm thankful for the church. I'm thankful that Jesus came down here to organize the church. I'm thankful for the church that he did organize, that he laid out. I'm thankful for the church that he laid out the plan of salvation for. I'm thankful for the church that he described. I'm thankful for the worship of the church. I'm just thankful for everything about the church. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. And so it's his church. We don't need to call it by some other name. It is a travesty against God to name the church after something other or someone other than its founder. Jesus died for the church. The nails went through his hands. How dare us put some other name on the church? Tear that denominational name down. Get rid of that Protestant name, that Catholic name. Put Christ's name up there. The Bible says in Romans 16:16, the churches of Christ salute you. And so how many of us have the courage to be what God would have us to be? If Jesus died for the church, it must wear his name. It belongs to him. It doesn't belong to somebody else. And so we need to be serious about it. God is a jealous God. He's jealous about his son. He's jealous when some other name is used for the church. He wants us to go back to and get back to and restore the Bible in all of its doctrine. All right. We're thankful for the way the Lord is blessing us in the new year. My, we've been able to preach in North Carolina and South Carolina and Georgia, and meetings are coming up. We just say thank God for the privilege of preaching. And I'm thankful that as we can carry on, we want to carry on as long as we can, preaching no creed but Christ and no book but the Bible, trying to get people to come out of unscriptural denominationalism. Oh, there's a lot of good in all. There's a lot of truth in just about all. But the problem is not the little bit of truth or what measure of truth there is. It's what has been added. And the Bible says we're not to add to. And so there's many of you out there that are close. Jesus said, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And some of you are not far from the kingdom. My, you believe the Bible. You've got just about everything right. You need to let the Holy Spirit tweak you. You need to let the Word of God adjust you. You need a set screw or two adjusted to get rid of all of that denominationalism and take the Bible only and be a Christian only. We're in the book of Ephesians dealing with several references to the church. The Bible teaches that Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. The church was founded on the day of Pentecost. The Bible says in Acts 2:47, the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. It's interesting to go back and learn about the evangelism of the first century church. Their evangelism, their soul winning, took place hour by hour, day by day. The Lord added to the church on Monday and Tuesday. He added to the church at midnight. Whenever someone would believe the gospel and repent and be baptized, they were added to the church and a saint was crowned. You see, there's no difference between becoming a Christian and being a saint. And so the church was organized, and then after a few years, there were serious needs that came up in the church, and Paul, inspired of God, could write to the church and give the church advice. The pastor's not inspired. Protestantism's not inspired. The Pope or Catholicism's not inspired. Christ is inspired. He inspired certain individuals. He gave us the Bible. And the problem is, many people, even some, even millions that claim to believe the Bible, they believe that there's an alternate authority that's on an equality with the Bible. And friends, that is heresy. There's no authority on an equality with the Bible. No one can legislate. It was settled. The last dot in the last verse of the last chapter of the last book of the Bible, that settled it, that sealed it. That's the scripture. That's what we go by. That's what we'll be judged by. So we better not tamper with God's word. In Ephesians, as the Apostle Paul wrote to the Church of Christ there at Ephesus, and as we said before, he wasn't writing to Lutherans, Presbyterians, Episcopalians, Baptists. We love everybody, but all of these Johnny-come-latelys had never been heard tell of yet. But people will just argue and turn red in the face, arguing for their denomination. I'm thankful I don't have to turn red in the face arguing for a denomination because I don't belong to one. I just want to be a part of the Lord's church, and the Lord is the one that adds you to the church, and if Jesus didn't add you to the church, then you're not in the church. If you're not in His church, you're not in the right church. There's only one church. The Bible teaches we're going to get into that, and that's the church that was founded on the day of Pentecost, described on the pages of the Word of God. In Ephesians 1, God is talking about what He did for Jesus, that He exalted Him. After Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and arose again, after it was finished, He came down here, He put up with all of that. He's not going to put up with it anymore. And you better get in line and obey the gospel now, because when He comes back the next time, He's not coming back to teach the plan of salvation. That's already been taught. He's coming back after the ones that obeyed the plan of salvation. So He writes to the Ephesians, and Paul is talking about how God exalted the Lord above all principality and power. Jesus' name is above every name. Thank God for Jesus and His precious name. No prayers get higher than the ceiling that are not prayed in the name of Jesus. No man on earth, no religion on earth, no religion in the world that is not prayed, no religion that does not pray in the name of Jesus. Their prayers don't get higher than the flea on the top hair on their head. The only prayers that get to heaven are the prayers that are prayed by born-again, Bible-believing believers in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Why are so many people ashamed of the name of Jesus in America? Why is it in public places in America you can freely talk about Mohammed, Buddha, Zoroaster, Neptune, Diana, but you mention Jesus and you're liable to go to court? We went down to Daytona several years in a row. I have a standing invite to preach for one of the New Testament Christian churches down there on Daytona 500 Sunday every year. And when I first started going down there, I have never bought a ticket. I had the tickets given to me, and we used to go to the Twin 125s. And an old gentleman was called up there to pray, and prior to the engine starting up, he would pray, and he had a voice that sounded like an old country boy, and whenever I hear someone pray in a public place, I wonder if they've got guts enough to pray in the name of Jesus. And so I listened for the end of the prayer, and at the end of the prayer, sure enough, he never prayed in the name of Jesus. He said, Shalom and Amen. Well, they called on him again the next time we were there at a race. It was the same thing. Not in the name of Jesus, Shalom and Amen. And we were on our way down with our motorhome. Might have been the big motorhome that burned on us. And they were interviewing this preacher, and they were talking to him about his prayer at the Daytona 500, at the Daytona race. And they said, how come you are a little bit unparliamentary? You do not pray in the name of Jesus. And he's supposed to be he's a Baptist preacher. He was a retired preacher of that big church there in Daytona. He said, when you pray in the name of Jesus, you leave too many people out. Friends, I heard that with my own ears. And when you reject Jesus, you've left your own self out. And so he was wasting his breath. He just as well stayed home if he's going to have that kind of an attitude. And you just well forget praying if you're not going to pray in the name of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. Well, the Bible teaches, on top of all of the exaltation that God placed upon Jesus because of what he did on the cross, in Ephesians 1:22, it says, quote, and hath put all things under his feet. All things are under Jesus' feet, including me. I want to be under his feet. I want to be at his feet. I want to kiss his feet. I want to wash his feet with my tears. My friends, I want to be at Jesus' feet. I don't want to be at the feet of denominationalism or Protestantism or Catholicism. I want to be at Jesus' feet. The Bible says, and hath put all things under his feet. I'm not too good to be under his foot. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church. And so here is a reference to the church right here in the book of Ephesians. The Bible says God gave Christ to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. We learn here that the church is the body of Christ. That's what the church is. That word church comes from a word that means the called out ones in the original language. Ekklesia, I believe, is the Greek word. And the Bible says that God hath put all things under Christ's feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. And friends, if you're in his body, you're saved. If you're out of his body, you are lost. And so the Bible says God has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over everything to the church, which is his body. And then he ends up this chapter by saying, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Everything is fulfilled in Jesus. Prophecies are fulfilled, the prophecies concerning salvation in the Messiah. And so everything is wrapped up in Jesus. Jesus is the head of not a religion, but the religion of Jesus Christ, is the only religion that can save a soul. I might have shared a few weeks ago about going into a restaurant and asking a man from another country what he thought of Jesus. And he tried to tell me that he was all right. He was one of about 15. And I took it he was talking about and was trying to say Jesus was one of about 15 great religious leaders. And I imagine he was including Buddha and Muhammad and Zoroaster and all of those others. But friends, I have news for you. Buddha never rose from the dead for me. Zoroaster never rose from the dead for me. Muhammad never died on a cross for me. One person died for me and arose from the grave, and that is Jesus. And it is only through Jesus Christ that we can be saved, and I hope and pray that God will give myself and give you and give his people that will know how to better reach people that do not believe in Christ and let them know that Christ is the only hope of the world. And one of the problems that's keeping us from winning the world are the Judases that have their names down on the church's roll books that are supposed to be Christians and they do not exemplify Christ in public. And it's no wonder some of these people don't want to become a Christian. The next reference to the church is found in chapter 2 and verse 20. The Bible says that, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. That is, when we become a Christian, when we obey the gospel, we're building on a solid foundation. Paul was talking about these Ephesians now that they had been saved. In verse 19 of Ephesians 2, that they were no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens of the saints of the household of God. And so now, they were no longer strangers out in the world, but they were saints, and they were in the household of God. And of course, the household of God is the church. It says, now therefore, you're no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles. Friends, that's the foundation I want to be on. I don't want to be on any Protestant foundation. I don't want to be on any denominational foundation. I want to be on the apostles' foundation. And the Bible teaches in Acts 2 that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, not Protestant doctrine or Catholic doctrine or Luther's doctrine or Calvin's doctrine. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. And you know what America needs? A good dose of the apostles' doctrine. Obama doctrine, Bush doctrine, no other doctrine is going to save a soul. It's the doctrine of the apostles, sanctified by Jesus. All right. It's time for the music to come up. We're finished with another broadcast. I'm thankful for the stations that let us go on. And if you're not a Christian, believe and be baptized. Start living for the Lord. Let's close with prayer. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the everlasting gospel. Thank you for the hope which we have in Christ. In whose name we pray, amen.